to another episode of the Comedians of Wrestling. This is episode 4, and we're back. Now, this episode's going to be slightly different than the other episodes. Not in terms of we're going to have another comedian. We are going to have we have a great comedian on here. The only difference in this is that he is not a fan of professional wrestling whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the genesis of this episode was me going on his podcast and him explaining how he cannot get into wrestling in any capacity, has no understanding. This is fair, right?
Totally right.
Yeah. Has no understanding of why wrestling has any appeal to it whatsoever. Basically, the harshest stuff you could say about wrestling.
Yeah.
And this man I'm talking about is a great comedian known as Will Hines.
Hi, Dan. Hello, everybody.
So what I did this week, hello, Will. How are you?
I'm pretty good, yeah.
What I did this week is I tortured Will Hines. I made him sit on my dirty couch, and I forced him to watch Monday Night Raw with me.
Yeah.
Which is what just happened.
We just watched it. We're coming off hot. We just finished minutes ago.
So, Will's a great comedian.
Which I'd never seen. I've never seen Raw before.
Yeah, Will has
never seen really almost any wrestling
before. Yeah, that's what my first question is. Like, you have a bunch of good credits.
I feel
like
we're hot. Whatever.
He's on TV shows. He's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's great. He's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Awesome guy. But let's get really into what matters. Professional wrestling and your ingestion of it. So that was your first time really watching. Is that your first time that you remember sitting down to watch pro wrestling?
I think that's right. That's the first time I've definitely ever watched. Yeah, I've never seen Raw before. I've never seen a pay-per-view. I've just seen clips of it sometimes, or someone will show me like a YouTube clip or something.
Really? But you were watching it not for the right reason. It might be like a mess up.
Look how stupid this is. Or like, look at this, was a complete mistake. Or like...
Right.
Yeah, I've never... You know, or sometimes like somebody will cross over, like The Rock will cross over, and I'll be curious about what they were like as a wrestler, so I'll look up something.
Right.
You know, or I've seen old Hulk Hogan stuff when I was a kid.
Right, Hogan. Like all those guys who cross over into pop culture.
Yeah, you know,
So I thought it would be really funny because of what you said on your podcast, which is called Don't Get Me Started. It's an amazing podcast. And there's an episode of me on there talking about professional wrestling.
Yeah, I love that episode.
Yeah, because you bring on just funny people to talk about
their obsessions, their non-comedy obsessions.
Right. So you guys specifically asked for me to come on
and talk about wrestling.
Wrestling. Is that normally how that works?
No.
With me, you just knew, like...
I just saw you do your wrestling show at UCB, and you did your Hulk Hogan impersonation, and it was, like, the most happy and impassioned I've ever seen you.
Yeah.
You were, like, so excited.
It was great.
You had a real wrestler there, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And you were, like...
Couple real... Cody Rhodes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I think Dolph was the only guy that I actually
met. Mick Foley's daughter, Noelle Foley, was there.
And you were so psyched.
It was great.
Like,
best day of my life.
You're seeing something that I'm not seeing. So, yeah, I wanted to hear about it.
Which was fantastic.
I mean, those guys were great. But
I booked you in the opening bit and the last bit.
Yeah.
And during the show, this is legend and truth, is that you were backstage reading a book the entire show.
That's right. I didn't see any of the show. I did the bit. I went in the green room and I was reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
So do you see why I have him on the show? Is because of his lack of interest. I thought it'd be really funny.
But I really wanted to come at it with an open mind. Like, I really do want to understand what it is that people like about it. So I was excited. You say it was torture, and it's true that wrestling's not my jam. But I was for real curious. I came at it like with an... Still holding my criticisms, like not giving that up. But I wanted to try to understand why it's like when people love a band and you don't get into it, you start to get curious, like what am I missing about this band or whatever?
Because it's huge. Wrestling's huge.
Yeah, so many people love it,
and a lot of comedians like wrestling. A lot of comedians.
I'm a big comic book fan, and I feel like a lot of comic book fans like wrestling.
Yeah, well, because it is they're very similar.
So I've learned.
CM Punk is writing for Marvel now.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he was one of the biggest wrestlers of all time.
So, yeah, I'm curious. So, I've learned a lot just from watching this with you.
Yeah.
So, I have a lot to discuss.
Cool. So, first question I'll ask you, and then I'll ask you like an overview kind of a question
about
your thoughts. And then I want to just talk about Raw with you,
like
the episode, which I'm sure will lead to bigger existential views. But how did you, like, what was your just... What's your thought? Just from like watching Raw, what's your first thought?
Okay, my first thought is, so I'm watching the show trying to figure out why do people like this?
Yeah.
Which
is an interesting approach.
I know. Well, coming into it, what I'm thinking is like, well, it looks fake. Like the fighting looks fake and the rules don't matter, right? Like the rules of, like the so-called rules of the sport And to regular wrestling fans, that sounds insane. But like, if I'm watching like a basketball game, like you can't go out of bounds. I mean, people break the rules like a little bit. There's slight fudging of like double dribbling in basketball. You know, maybe the ref misses something out of, but not too much. Like generally, the rules hold.
Yeah, they do. And
part of the appeal of the sport is seeing, oh, how can they be good enough athletes to win within the rules?
Yeah.
But there's no rules that matter in wrestling. The ref gets like ignored. People fight outside the ring, and the physical hitting of each other looks completely fake. Like, it doesn't look real at all.
Yeah, see, so for me, like, I don't see that at all.
You don't you really so, didn't see that at all?
No. I reckon, look, if you were...
We live in a society where, like, if somebody goes to, like, a CGI movie, like, I don't even know, like, some movie where the CGI is kind of cheap, like, The Mummy's all I can think of,
they'll
complain and be like, oh, the Beatles looked fake.
Yeah.
But, like, the fakest thing in a bad CGI movie doesn't look nearly as fake as one punch in professional wrestling, which all looks... You can see him not touching the person.
Okay, so here's what I would say.
Okay.
Is that...
That's really hard for me to
The Mummy's a great example because The Rock is the Scorpion King.
That's right. But... those effects are bad.
Right.
In this first appearance.
You said his ponytail? You didn't like his ponytail?
His ponytail was bad. Yeah. Hair and makeup effects.
Yeah. No. So... If you showed me side by side a real UFC punch and then a wrestling punch, obviously I could see that the punch is not hitting and that it's fake and that it's clearly like stomping before impact. But what I'm saying, I don't watch wrestling like that. I watch it where I'm fully invested in the fiction.
Yes. Okay. So here's what I learned today is that, okay, so the physical fakery of it takes me out. That's always what's taken me out.
Yeah.
But now I'm watching it, and I've watched this whole thing, and I got you to explain, like, the backstory of the characters.
Yes.
And it's, like, it's a story. It's much more like a comic book, or really what it reminds me of more than anything else is it reminds me of Dungeons & Dragons, where there's, like, characters, and there are rules, but the rules are really only enforced as much as the story needs, kind of, like...
Yeah.
Like okay, if you pin somebody, they're out in wrestling. But in this wrestling, maybe you can tag out way after you should be allowed to tag out. Or maybe you can, like, hit somebody with a chair while you're being pinned or something
Yeah, so one thing you point... See, you're saying that the rules don't matter. Now, I would say that the rules most of the time do matter. Though, actually, in recent wrestling, there's been a few things that don't follow our set of rules... For how we watch wrestling, like world rules.
Yeah.
And then people have been like upset about it. Like, there was this weird thing where they addressed the timekeeper at SummerSlam. And they're like, we've never talked about the timekeeper as like someone who has stakes in the match. It's just like somebody who, I guess, rings the bell.
Okay.
And they're like, no, the timekeeper did that. And you're like, well, you can't just introduce that when we're already invested. But what I'm saying is that, like, you learn to have rules of, like, oh, how this operates. So for you, like, an example of something you said was you're like, we were watching the tag match, the opening tag match.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell
who was in and who was out.
It looked like there'd be multiple people from a team in at once.
Yeah.
Which is, that's not supposed to happen.
No. So it's like, what I was explaining to Will, we were watching this, like, okay, when one guy tags another guy in, there's a little bit of leeway time where you're like, before you have to go back behind the ropes and you're not in. So you kind of like, all right, you tag, and then during that time you could do a two-man maneuver.
But that would go on for a while. Like, the dude would be in, someone from his team would tag. After he does the tag, the dude who was tagged would keep fighting.
Yeah.
And then the new guy would join in for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, so that's...
And then like the other guy kind of gets up and saunters at him, maybe pops like a punch, which doesn't touch
anybody.
So
that's a big heel thing, right? So like good guys versus heel, like, you know, baby face versus heel. So a big heel maneuver is like staying in longer than you should.
Yeah.
And so the ref will be like counting it.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know what the rule... Like, I'm watching wrestling for my entire life. I'm not even sure what the rule is. But I think they count to like five. And then like there is a point where they can call... They can like DQ them. But they rarely do.
Yeah. So, okay. So the
So I accept that rule that it's like... So I don't even see that. My point is that like I'm so...
Okay. So like what I was learning today is like... So the rule of tagging out for tag team, it's not like the way I think of a rule, which is like you have to follow it.
Yes.
It's more like this rule.
That makes sense. More like, logical,
It's like in wrestling, a rule is a way for people to like show what kind of person they are. Like the good guy might follow it more honorably than the bad guy.
Yes.
And that shows me who the bad guy is.
Yeah.
And I get to learn what a cheap shot is. So like, okay, you're allowed a little overlap on the tag. But if you go way over, now you're being a cheap shot.
Yeah, and that kind of exists in combat sports in general. Like, if you watch UFC or boxing, sometimes guys do stuff like punch right after the bell, like small things where they're like,
right.
Shit, there's nothing we can really do about it, but it's very scummy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you could deduct, like in UFC, you can deduct a point from someone if they, you know, you give them a few warnings, but like then they start like, if you're like a heel fighter, you're a dirty fighter,
yeah,
you're like, I'm going to rack up warnings until the point when I know I can't, I'm going to lose a point. And if you lose a point in fighting, it's huge.
I can't believe what theater is. Like, what wrestling, this looked like theater. Like, everyone in the audience knows that it's fake.
Yeah.
Like, they know that the fighting is not, people are not actually physically outdoing each other. It's been decided before the fight starts who wins.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't know who's going to win.
The audience doesn't know.
Me and you were discussing who's going to win this fight.
We were trying to guess, yeah.
And we were wrong.
We guessed wrong, yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. Once I started
speaking. So then what's the difference?
The difference is like, it's story, you know? Like, if a good story is fun to watch. So I just watched Creed, the movie, in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I know before the movie was written that Creed is going to win at the end.
Right.
Because it's a Rocky movie.
Right, but spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Do we say, is that wrong to spoil
Creed?
Let's
just spoil it.
I mean, he loses.
He loses the
fight.
But
that's actually, I knew he was going to lose because in Rocky movies, losing is winning.
He wins the emotional battle.
Yes, the emotional battle is like, is like proving that you're worthy. Is
right.
More of what the
self-esteem.
That's what makes
proving
Rocky
proving to believe in yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I forgot he lost. But like, he essentially, but he proved that he was like a worthy opponent for the other guy.
Right, when like, he was fighting just because of his name. It was like, no, you're fighting because of your ability.
Right. He, but at the start of the fight, he's fighting just because of his name. At the end of it, he's shown, no, he's a real fighter.
So that kind of storytelling is stuff that they, is the kind of things they try to factor into wrestling.
So I agree. So like, that's what I learned watching Raw. It's like, stuff like that is what matters. Like,
yes.
Oh, the story of this guy is he's a dirty fighter. This guy's a clean fighter.
Yeah.
So while you're watching it, that kind of, you're kind of monitoring that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is the dirty guy going to win or is the clean guy going to win?
Yeah, like an example of something that happened 2 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago that I think would shine some light on what you're saying is like Roman Reigns, that character you saw.
Who's generally a good guy.
Yes, is a hard good guy.
Right.
Big face. Right now, their current biggest face character they have.
Right.
But, so his thing, like, the bad guys, there's always like a corporate entity. Triple H, who you didn't see in this episode. He wasn't around. But he's basically like...
I've heard of Triple H.
Yeah, right. He's like the corporate figure,
okay.
Right? And he's a bad guy. He's called... Him and his wife are called the Authority.
Okay.
And they're like, they want to control all the belts because they own the company, but they also want to control the belts.
Okay.
But they're like, shit, we can't control the competition aspect. So anyway, they came to Roman Reigns because they know that he was a shoo-in to win the tournament and win the open vacated belt.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, if you be like our disciple, we'll let you skip the whole tournament and just go to the finals.
Right.
You know? And he was like, uh-uh. Like,
he's got to do it the right way.
He's got to do it the right way. And then he ended up winning, but going through all the rounds.
Yeah.
And then Sheamus signed up with them, and then he stole the belt.
Right. It's hilarious.
So you see, like, that story is
very
funny.
It's
cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love it. I get like, I'm even getting like smiley and excited.
But here's the thing, like,
you about that.
No, I totally understand that. Like, I read comic books, I watch formula movies, like where you kind of, I guess you generally know what's going to happen, but it's exciting anyway. But like, you were watching this and you were getting into like the physical parts, like, oh, that's got to hurt. It's like, oh, big move.
Yes. Yeah. Because, so, like, because I think that,
a dude would like, hit somebody with a chair and you're like, oh, that's gotta hurt. It's like, not that much. These dudes are enormous dudes.
Yeah, but, well, I talked about the chair shots because chair shots are kind of like the cliche thing when people think about wrestling, like taking a chair shot.
Right.
You know, so I was like, but I think those just still hurt. But some moves,
I mean, these dudes are, a lot of them, most of them, but not all of them, are like physically like amazing dudes. Like they're just super jacked, huge guys. Although some dudes are not, and I guess that's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
But they're just sort of like massive dudes who are not jacked.
Yeah.
Some of those dudes.
Some of them are more athletic. Well, actually, that's like something that's going on in wrestling right now.
It's like
which
a
is
trend.
Like, there was a time where it was like, let's just get the biggest, jackedest dudes.
The most
roided
like, up.
Yeah, like Dave Bautista, who played Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who, like, kind of was a star, and now when he comes back, people boo the shit out of him because he's, like, just jacked and, like, has no mic skills. He's not very athletic. He's not
Mike
a good
skills.
Wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mic
reminds
skills.
Me of hip-hop a lot. Like, there's a lot of beefs and a lot of, like, talking trash.
Yeah, well, they're definitely, like, when you have, like, rap battle kind of thing, a lot of times when you're on the microphone and you're cutting promos, like, dueling promos, it's like, ooh, who's sharper? And the audience is like, wow, he's beating him.
That must be the Rock must have been such
amazing.
An amazing star because he's such a physical specimen and he's funny and
yes, and that's the thing is that wrestling hits so many elements of talent.
Yeah.
That like the Rock had checked the box on like every he was everything.
Right.
He had the look, the size.
I guess in his day Hogan for his time also was, because he had personality.
Yes, and Hogan's another example of a guy who checked that box. Stone Cold Steve Austin. These are guys who are like full
triple threat or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. There's this thing me and my friends used for the show called there was a video game called NBA Street.
Yeah.
And in it, it was like there was a thing where you could have stats and you could be like a 10 out of 10 on dribbling or whatever.
Yeah.
But you could have a crown right on top of it, which meant that you were perfect at it. Where like The Rock had like a crown
on everything you need for wrestling.
On everything. He was amazing. The Rock, I think, more than Hogan. The Rock, and that's why he's a bigger star. He's the biggest movie star in the world.
I guess because it like evolved or whatever. Like your standards go up. Like the guy who's the best at baseball in 1920 is not as good as the guy who's best in 1990 or whatever.
And The Rock still now, he shows up, his music hits. Like and sometimes he randomly shows up.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes to promote a movie. Sometimes to wrestle. Sometimes they'll come back to wrestle.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of rumors about him wrestling at WrestleMania in April, which I will be at. for my bachelor party, Bachelormania.
Okay, can we talk? Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's in Dallas, the Cowboys team. There's a lot of hype about he's going to wrestle. When his music hits,
Everyone
fucking bananas.
Yeah. But okay, so let's talk about the music hitting. So, like, we saw a match where a dude, Kevin Owens
versus Dolph Ziggler,
won the match.
Yeah.
And so Kevin Owens looks like sort of kind of an underdoggy kind of guy, maybe, because he looks like he came up through the indie circuit and he's not as jacked
as
Dolph.
Right, I was explaining that to you. Is that
not that Dolph's a heel. Dolph's not a heel, but between the two of them, Owen's more of
a... Well, this keeps happening to Dolph, and everybody knows I have a Dolph bias. I always say
I met Dolph, and Dolph was cool, man.
Dolph's great. A man.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And he's a comedian.
He's for real funny.
He's a legitimate comedian.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. And he is constantly in the ring... looking like more of a professional wrestler than the guy he's wrestling against.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he definitely he's more in shape than Kevin Owens.
Yeah, one of my friends the other day described it as, like, Dolph Ziggler's gimmick. Like, gimmick meaning, like, their thing.
Yeah.
You know, is that he's a professional wrestler.
But he's good at the sport if it were real.
Yeah,
if they all had to actually wrestle, Dolph might be the only guy who actually has moves.
Yeah. So...
Kevin Owens wins that, and then that other dude,
Dean Ambrose, Lunatic Fringe,
just plays his music to kind of like steal thunder away from Kevin Owens.
Yeah, because normally it's in wrestling, one of the like rules of wrestling is like whoever wins the match, their music hits immediately.
Yeah.
As a point of pride.
You won the right to have your music, a celebration kind
of. But Ambrose music hit, which for me, this is how attuned I am into watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I was like, oh, they messed up. They hit the wrong music.
Okay.
Like, I know Kevin Owens' music. It's on my iPod. Sometimes it's on when I'm on the treadmill. And let's just say I don't change it.
Okay, all so, right? Like, so Dean Ambrose' music plays. He comes sauntering in with his popcorn and his soda because he's, like, crazy
saying,
broken home kid or whatever.
Well, that's a great observation about Dean Ambrose. You say he looks, I was like... Because Dean
Ambrose,
this guy's wearing jeans. That was one of your lines. You go, this guy's wearing jeans.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know? It doesn't seem like optimal wrestling wear.
And then I would goat you being like, how do you feel about that, Will?
Yeah.
And you were like, what'd you say?
He looks like a kid from a high school kid from a broken home.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wears like thick coats and jeans, like in the hot sun. Like, he's just shielding himself emotionally.
That is kind
eating,
of his gimmick.
Eating junk food.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, a kid who's like deliberately living self-destructively unhealthy because he doesn't love himself.
Yeah. He is kind of like a delinquent kid. Like a, like a kid who's in
like
detention every day.
Right.
That
like, takes pleasure in lighting up a cigarette.
Yeah.
When he's not supposed to, so he can get like yelled at.
Yeah. His t-shirts say Ambrose Asylum.
Yeah.
And he's like, whole thing is that he's like,
know, so Kevin crazy. Owens gets super mad that this other guy's music plays.
Yeah, he starts like, screaming. He starts going like, but, I want my music to play.
But here's what I have trouble getting over. It's like, well, there's a dude in a tech booth who pressed play.
Yeah.
It wasn't Ambrose who did it. It was an orchestrated event, obviously, on behalf of everybody.
See, what you're saying right now, it's you're not, you got to get more in the zone.
I know.
You got to assume that somehow, I guess what the assumption in wrestling is like they're wearing like a chip. Right? They have like some kind of chip. This is not what happens, but I'm saying like if you have
they're
wearing some kind of chip where like when they cross the threshold
they can't go anymore.
That their music starts. Oh. That like it cues their entrance. You know what I mean? Like
I get it. I get how it's like, oh no, but you know, Dean is gonna be they're gonna be wrestling soon, so he wants to like get in his head. So he like steals his celebration music as like a psychological ploy.
Yeah.
But it's fake and insane.
Yeah.
And then the whole audience goes insane. Like, they're totally on board with the story.
Yeah, I like that. I'm like, he threw popcorn in his face. Like, good story. And I don't even acknowledge. When you're here, it makes me acknowledge it a little more because I'm thinking, like, what's Will's experience?
You're seeing it through my eyes a little bit.
I'm having, like, the guilt of making you watch this. And,
I'm a complete snob. Let's just get this on the record. I'm a super snob. I'm like.
You should see Will. He looks like he sounds.
Yeah, I got accountant looking glasses.
Yeah.
I like reading big hard novels and talking about it and showing off that I read them for real.
Yeah.
I like knowing about like highbrow stuff, like classical music and all
during
that stuff.
During the opening of Raw, he was like, "This is like French Court."
It is, yeah. It's a comedy of manners.
I was like, "Yeah, Will, this is like French Court." Yeah, 100%.
It is like French Court. It's like a fencing match where it's not even about how accurate a shot you are. It's like, who slapped who?
Were you
wearing a glove or not?
And more pageantry based.
Pageantry, yes, exactly. It's like it's sort of like it's really more like a Jane Austen novel
or French
Court or like anything with a lot of protocol and manners. It's like how you know it's like in the movie Amadeus, they show Mozart premiering a symphony.
Yeah, hold on. I'm just going to go to sleep right now.
And the king of Austria yawns during the symphony, and so the symphony closes after that night because like the king yawned.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it's Mozart, one of the greatest composers ever, or even the quality of music. Like pageantry dictates that if the monarch yawns, your thing has to close.
Yeah, like he dictates the quality, but it's not actual.
So if you don't respect his yawn, then you're disrespecting the king, and so we have to have that respect.
Yeah. So cool. So playing on that, think about all the other TV that you watch.
Yes. I was just thinking. Yeah.
Do you think it's cool that something like this exists? Or
I do.
No, I do think.
What
else is like this? Like SNL's
nothing...
the closest thing, and that's way more scripted. Way less live. Is the wrong word.
I don't mean SNL. Like the only way SNL would be like this.
It's just kind of is live.
Oh, because it's live. Yeah, a big live event. But it's almost as if the
sports,
the thing that you're doing doesn't matter. It's like the manners and protocol around the thing is what matters. It would be like SNL where they never did the sketches. They just like, who gets to be in the sketch after the monologue? It's like, oh, what a blow. I thought it was going to be my sketch.
And you walked in and took my sketch. Yeah. I think I watch SNL like that a little bit.
It's like, oh, who gets to be on the news? It's like, oh, they're letting this person who never gets anything do his thing in the news. They must be on the way out.
Yeah, that's true.
They're restricted to news bits.
Because they'll be like, they'll have some like random featured player in the opening and then fire them the next day. Like,
but if you watched SNL, which I guess people and comedians kind of do, maybe and SNL fans do, you're just monitoring, like, the status. It's like, oh, who got to introduce the musical guest? The host didn't do it. They must hate this host or whatever. And all you do is try to read into the backstory.
100%.
Raw is just that.
That's what wrestling is. That's what the kind of fan that, like, someone like me is, where
so
I try not to be like it. It's like a smart...
You're a Yankees fan, right?
Yes.
And I'm a Red Sox fan.
Yes.
So do you remember the legendary Red Sox-Yankees game in the early 2000s with Derek Jeter?
I think Raw was on, so I missed it.
So this is a famous Yankees-Red Sox game where a foul ball was in Yankee Stadium, Red Sox playing the Yankees. Foul ball was going into the stands, and Derek Jeter jumped so hard for it that he threw his body into the stands.
By the way, I was there.
So I was there, too.
Oh, that's amazing.
Me and my brother Kevin were at that game.
That was amazing. And then didn't they have to take him out?
No,
his face started bleeding. I know the exact clip you're talking about. He jumped like three rows.
It's the left field foul.
He caught it, and then he... Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Did
he catch it? I think he just went... I don't even remember if he caught it.
No, I think he caught it.
Okay, he went hard for it.
I know you're talking about because there's two of those that he did, but the big one, it was Red Sox. was like 2009 around.
No, 2002 or 1 or something. Maybe even 2000. The reason I know it was before 2004 is Nomar Garciaparra was on the Red Sox. He was our big shortstop. And he was currently on the bench because he was injured.
Right.
And the story on the Red Sox side was, their shortstop cares so much that he jumps into the stands and our shortstop is like riding out a wimpy injury.
Yeah, he's a heel.
He's a heel. Nomar, we love Nomar. But like that, the story of that game was not about who caught the ball. I don't even remember if Derek Jeter caught it. It was like effort. And what does this say about your character?
Yeah.
So wrestling is like only those moments.
I 100% remember that, but it's crazy that was way longer ago than I thought.
It definitely was like...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So it's like if that mattered over the score of the game.
Exactly. It's all that matters is like...
And that's what I like. I like the theater. I like the pageantry. I like that more.
So it's weird because I've always associated wrestling because these like big jacked up dudes, like, you know, people who are like into like working out and athletics growing up, to me are the jocks. They're the enemy.
Yeah.
They're the brutes. They're like, they're my personal enemy. And I don't even like anything that they like. If they're around, it's bad news.
Yeah.
But here's something that they love, and it's not even really about physical feats, except for the working out they do before they get there. It's about pageantry. It's a comedy of manners.
I actually think that it's not... I know this sounds crazy, but I would say wrestling is not for that pure jock type. Like, even the guys in the ring.
I totally can understand that after watching this.
Yeah. A lot of them are people who just love this business. Like, they're their own thing. They're their own unicorns.
It's more
theatrical.
They're
New Day unicorns.
Right.
Where they're like...
It's a combination of, like, drama geek and, like, workout nut.
And I think that's
You have to be obsessed with your body and then also obsessed with, how do I disrespect this person in a creative way?
I think that's showing right now.
It would be like rap music if it was just diss tracks. Like if rap music only had diss tracks and there was no actual good music going on. Like, oh, this person had a good diss track or whatever. Or this person had a good tribute track.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I think that makes sense. Like if it's...
So...
But I'm saying that like some of the big stars now are not like jocks. A lot like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan... Kevin Owens, these guys are not jocks. Like, you only saw Kevin Owens. But, like, CM Punk, he got knocked for, like, not being huge. He was, like, covered in tattoos. Not a jock. Probably a big-time loner, you know. And he was – but these were big indie wrestlers. They love wrestling. Like, they love the art of wrestling. And now it's, like, its own thing where it's, like, now
Wait, is there real wrestling on the indie circuit?
No. It's all professional wrestling, but it's way more hardcore than what you see here.
Right, it's not so... they don't have the money to like really like glitz it up, so they got it to be a little more real about it.
It's the same thing. This is just like the major leagues. Like, WWE is basically like the NFL. You know, they're like... They dominate.
Right.
There's nothing even close to second
So, yeah, place. I got more respect for it because it seems to be more about like story and theater than I appreciated. Like, you're just watching for who's insulting who.
Yeah.
Who's... It's all status.
Yes.
And respect.
Yeah, the belt is all status.
So we watched an insane match. The first match for this Raw was crazy.
Let's get into Raw because I think this will hit stuff.
I've never seen any episode of Raw before.
This is what was crazy, is that you've never seen any Raw before ever.
Yeah.
And this was like if there is a God, which is not, he was like, Will's watching for the first time. I'm going to just throw the cast of characters at this opening of Raw. And literally, the first match of the night, which opened up Raw, was a 16-man Fatal 4-Way Tag Match.
So there are so many names and titles of things.
Complicated match that maybe exists. I mean, unless there was
but
a
But they're
fatal
all four-way. Not complicated because they're all just fixed. Like, none of them are... No more complicated than an arm wrestling match.
Yes.
If you planned it out before.
True. That's true.
I guess,
but
I mean, they
the
have
logistics
to
of like the
they
times,
have to choreograph it.
There was all right. Let's talk about it. There was a time during that match where they were all in the ring at the same time. They knew to enter. There were times when they were all outside of the ring, knocked out. There was like some synchronized swimming.
Yeah, as an actor, I had to respect their blocking.
Yes,
like, they were on
their
blocking. They were on the game.
Yeah.
Hardcore. These dudes were pros.
Yeah,
like they had to. That is not easy to do that live. You first take. You got to get it right. I assume. In front of, or you prefer to. So, like, you can't screw up.
And when you screw up, you know what the audience does?
No.
They go, you fucked up. You fucked up.
So they know. Symphony.
They know when you mess up.
That's kind of
Plus,
great.
You're playing for TV.
I'm just saying, like.
Plus, they're, like, literally, like, it's, like, they're, like, there's a timer going. They're, like, this match has to end at this time. and it has to be in this part of the ring. They're playing for a cap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot happening. But anyway, let's go through the... Well, what did you ever thought? This is about you, my friend.
Well, just final four... Tell me again what all the qualifiers were. So fatal four-way tag team single elimination.
16 man, meaning four times four. Right?
Yes.
Fatal four-way, which means a fatal four-way means...
if anybody gets pinned, your team's out?
Yes.
Okay.
So usually one pin there.
So that's like, there's no margin for error.
Yes.
Assuming that...
It's fatal.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then four-man tag. That's it.
Yeah, so... There's 16 guys, 16 characters surrounding the ring, four teams.
Yeah.
And at one point, of course, they're all in fighting at once, even guys who have been eliminated.
Yeah.
They're outside the ring a lot.
So one of the rules of wrestling is, like, you get eliminated, like, they were gone. They leave. You know? Like,
yeah.
Even though they're bad guys, they're like, all right, we'll go.
It's really funny to me when rules are respected, or when boundaries are respected, like... Dean Ambrose played his music to steal Kevin Owens' thunder, then went in the ring and threw popcorn and soda on him, which that would get anybody mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that Kevin Owens is infuriated, but Dean Ambrose just steps over the ropes and saunters out, and Kevin Owens runs to the ropes and, like, screams,
but
he doesn't step over
the
ropes.
Yeah, but there's that force field of, like, and you could tell, like...
But he stepped over the ropes just moments ago when he was in his match.
No, he's just going to yell at him and be upset about it. He's not going to go after
him. So, like, that's hard to know, like, how far are you allowed to go? But I guess I kind of get it because it's like, again, it's like pageantry. It's like, nah, man, you got insulted. You have to just take that insult.
And they're setting up a match Sunday.
You're going to get your chance to have your...
Yeah.
Come up
and you know, like, someone has to be like, I got you this time. Like, they have to have that, like... Roadrunner.
It reminds me a lot of comic books. Like, when you're reading comic books and you get the issue and something happens and you kind of decide, was this, like, fair given what we know about the characters? Like, this character lost, this character won. Does that make sense given what we know?
Right.
Like, okay, Superman is the winner of his whatever.
Right.
But, like, if Lex Luthor takes Lois Lane hostage... then Superman has to be hampered by that.
Right.
You have to, like, as a person reading the story, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a...
She has to be, like, upset?
It's you got to respect the stakes of it. Like, Superman can't just be like, well, let Lois Lane die. I'm just going to kill Lex Luthor.
Because I know what you're saying. Right. He has to always care. Like, that's...
He has to care about Lois Lane.
Yeah, there's basic rules of that story. Which
he can't,
like,
just suddenly decide...
Plus, you can assume it. Like, if you know something's happening to Lois Lane, you know, like, ooh.
That's going to affect
how that's going to ripple throughout him. Like, you know, it's going to affect him.
Right. And then, like, sometimes, or I'll use Spider-Man because I know Spider-Man more. Like, if Spider-Man's married to Mary Jane Watson or whatever, sometimes they're married, sometimes they're divorced.
Right.
But she should always matter to him. But some writers will come in and decide that Spider-Man is not as worried about that marriage and he's more into a new relationship.
Right.
But then you have to put in the time to make that change happen. You can't just decide that in an issue. You have to, like, earn the right for us to now have that change happen.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do anything because it's all completely made up. Like, theoretically, you could have Spider-Man fly away, even though he can't fly.
Yeah.
But you can't. Like, you have to have these, like...
Because then you'll jump the shark or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll just be like, oh, then you stop. Now, wrestling has so many moments, though,
but
where
the rules
like
are more just like, okay, pageantry. He stole your music, but you won the fight. So you're not going to jump over the ropes and chase him because it wasn't like he took your belt... It wasn't like he changed the result of the fight. He just kind of slapped your wrist a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're going to scream and get mad, but it's almost not appropriate for you to run after him right now.
I do think you're overthinking it. Which makes sense. It's like, I do think it's just like, oh, that's how it goes. Like, he does that, and then they just do one spot.
All right,
you're probably right.
If Dean Ambrose did what he did, right? He popcorn and soda the gun, and then Kevin Owens snaps his neck, and the character of Dean Ambrose is dead. He doesn't really kill the guy.
Yeah.
But he just fake kills him. Within the universe of WWE, he kills him.
Yeah, which
he commits murder.
There's no death in wrestling, except for when
there's actual real death. Right.
In the ring.
So you can't go that far.
Yes.
You can never go that far.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's back it up. Could he have jumped over the ropes and chased him and had a fight with him? Like,
yes.
100 yards away from the ring.
You can. Sometimes I do.
Sometimes that'll happen.
Yeah. But it's a big deal. The audience will go nuts. So, like, that's what happened at the end of Raw. Sheamus, like, came out and Roman Reigns is in the
Sheamus
ring.
Sheamus, the main heel, like, who has the belt right now.
It's a very classic move for a heel to be like, come out, pretend they're going to attack you, and then just be like, hey, you're not worth my time.
Right, you know what I mean?
Not worth my time. Like, I'll get you Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. What am I going to bother you? Like, I'm just going to get in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? But then he, like, ran in the ring, and he actually went in the ring and attacked him.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
so that's a comeback.
Oh!
Yeah, it's a
high stakes. Because you're expecting him not to do it.
There's so many different ways to have stakes in Raw. So there's all the belts. The belts are all stakes.
Yeah.
Then, like, every individual match, whether it's for a belt or not, is stakes. Who talks trash is stakes.
Yeah.
Who teams up with who is, like, if you take somebody's former partner, that's, like, stakes.
Yeah, yeah. You saw a lot of partnering stuff, which is interesting. But, so...
Let's talk about the League of Nations.
Yeah, so let's go to... let's talk about the League. Let's talk about the League of Nations.
That's the most...
Which League of Nations? You want to... This League of Nations or the real...
Let's talk about the Woodrow Wilson.
You want to get into
the
Woodrow Wilson?
World War One League of Nations. Yeah, let's talk about the political effectiveness
I could use to brush up on my League of Nations mark. I was wondering, like, what percentage of the wrestling crowd in that arena knows that League of Nations is a reference to something?
0%.
That's how low you think of that crowd?
0% of the crowd knows that there was a real League of Nations before the United Nations.
What percentage?
They would know the United Nations. If they called themselves the United Nations, they would know that.
Oh, yeah. But
they wouldn't know the League of Nations.
What percentage of the crowd do you think agrees with Trump saying no Islamic people?
100% of the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah. They booed the League of Nations just for being international.
They just said,
just for being another country. They got booed. They're bad guys just because they belong to another nation.
Yeah, you said they booed this guy just because they said he's from Bulgaria.
Yeah. There's no way they know anything about Bulgaria.
Yeah, I don't even know what anything
like
about
Bulgaria.
Like,
in the 80s, if it was, like, you know, Rocky versus, like, you know...
Ivan Drago.
It's like, well, the Soviet Union was our enemy at that time, you know what I mean? So, like, there's some emotional...
In wrestling, Russians are always bad. Recently, so the guy we're talking about, Rusev, the Bulgarian, his fiance in real life was actually his, like, valet.
Yeah.
She's, like, a very attractive... I think she's of Latvian descent, but they just deduce her to Russian. Like,
okay,
in wrestling, they gotta simplify it. And she would come out and just talk about how great Putin is, and they were all just boo. They would just boo so hard for her. And her accent is fake. She's like in other things. She's in like Pitch Perfect and just has a regular. She's from Florida. You know what I mean?
The stories of everybody is really funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of xenophobia flying around wrestling.
I like those gothic, like, southern Silence of the
Lambs.
Yeah,
so the guys came out. So let's go through them as they enter.
Okay, so first there's Sheamus.
How do you feel about Sheamus? He's the champion right now. How do you feel about Sheamus?
I thought he was hilarious. I just love how dirty he was all the time. Like, he just takes every shortcut he can.
Yeah.
There's no way to win that's too shameless for Sheamus.
Yeah.
He'll, like, cheap shot, dirty shot his way in. That's hilarious to me.
Did you think he was a good professional wrestler, like, if you had the gauge?
I thought because he's got a good story.
Yeah.
He's consistent. He looks for real jacked, so he looks the part. He's a good actor. He talked pretty good trash. I don't think his mic skills were super, super good, but they were competent. He was passable.
So the thing about Sheamus is
good story, looks good, and decent mic skills. How do I rate him? How close am I?
I would say that most people do not like Sheamus and don't think he's that good of a wrestler at all.
Okay.
But he's the kind of guy who, like, they'll give him the championship belt every once in a while because they're like, he looks like he should be the champion.
Okay.
Like, he looks...
I guess just to set up for the satisfaction of getting it back.
Yeah, I thought his promo at the top is pretty boring. And to me, it was a little bit, like, stupid. Yeah, it's like a little corny. Just that I've seen guys who are better. But I see how you watching it would feel that. Also, the thing I would say is that this League of Nations things, they started last week.
Yeah.
And it really works.
Yeah.
They just took a bunch of, like, mediocre wrestlers. Like, guys who are, like, mid-card guys... And we're like, who happened to be far? And then, like, let's just put them together and make them bad guys. And it really does work.
Because,
like,
if you're going to play on xenophobia, these aren't even the country. Like, we're not xenophobic about England.
Mexico.
Mexico, we're pretty chill.
We vacation there.
Yeah. Like, we're not mad at Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, except for our whole...
The League of Nations should be, like, North Korea, Iraq, Iran, and Vladimir Putin himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that should be it should be, like,
the axis of evil is Bulgaria, Mexico...
London.
And Ireland.
Two from the British Isles.
Yeah.
So insane.
But did they feel like bad guys to you when you saw them up there?
Yes.
That's the thing. Sheamus was doing a good job. That was definitely his best he's been for me. Especially
he
after
communicated
the match,
well that
when
he's
he got mad at the end.
Yeah.
Because he got pinned by Roman.
Yeah.
When he got mad, I was like, oh, he's like legit mad.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about him is I wish he was a little bit less jokey.
Yeah.
But it's funny you said he's hilarious, but you saw as a pro.
Yeah. Well, I think his story is hilarious. I think bad guys are funny.
Yeah, they are funny.
So here's something that happens to me. I was watching that. I was like, the Mexican guy doesn't look like a heel to me.
You know what?
He doesn't play like a heel. He plays like somebody who is being unfairly set on. I think he should be a hero someday.
They mainly pin him as a heel. But like when he came out. God, you want to bring him up? This is funny.
Okay.
He just came back. He got fired. He was a big-time wrestler, was the champion. He debuted and won the Royal Rumble, which is unheard of.
Right.
Like,
which is someone's decision on a desk that just happened, but okay.
Unheard of. He's a really great wrestler. He's Mexican. Somebody in the WWE establishment said, I don't know the exact details, but said something racist to him.
Uh-huh.
And he punched him in the face.
Because
he's like a proud Mexican.
Luchador.
Comes from like a really like elite lucha family, I believe.
Okay.
I don't want to butcher that fact. And he punched him in the face, and then they fired him, not the guy who said the racist remark.
And this happened in real life.
It happened in real life. They fired him. So he was gone. He's been gone for like a year and change.
Mm-hmm.
He got into perfect shape, went into like and was wrestling on the indie scene. And then they brought him back. He debuted like a month and a half ago at Hell in a Cell, whenever that was, at Staples Center. I was there. Everyone went nuts for him.
Yeah.
This is a huge Latino community here. And he's great. He's got an amazing look. So, yeah. I don't think he should be a bad guy. I think what he should be is just like the hero of actual Hispanic people.
Yeah.
Who are like, oh, there's a guy who is like, that's our guy. Like, people want to connect with their guy.
Yeah, he looked like someone I would root for.
Right.
Sheamus looks like a rat. Like, the way he plays in his face. He looks like a guy who's a bad guy.
Well, he came back with that mohawk.
England guy also looked like a rat.
Yeah.
Barrett looks like a rat.
But then when he goes to England, how do you think they respond to him? Cheer.
Yeah.
They love him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're like, why does that make you a bad guy? It's just because Americans hate foreign people.
It's so crazy. So that's the League of Nations.
That's the League of Nations. So Sheamus, cool. So then the Wyatt family comes out.
Right.
How do you feel about the Wyatt family? What do you think about Bray Wyatt? He's the guy on the mic.
Loved him. I think he was my single favorite guy the whole night.
Yes! He's amazing!
Yeah.
He's an incredible actor.
Yeah, his mic skills were superior.
His mic skills
were... whoever's writing his dialogue is great, too.
He writes his dialogue, I believe. Like, he does a lot of... I don't know.
He's got real style.
Yeah.
He's got real... I like that stuff.
Who was the first team eliminated from that match?
Them, right?
Yes, them. Lost to The Undertaker at the Classic. He loses every time. He lost to Cena at WrestleMania.
They were interesting. Yeah, I thought
Loses. They use him just to lose, and he's one of their biggest stars.
I think they should get more gothic in their fighting.
Yeah.
They should have, it should look like True Detective Season 1.
Yeah.
They should have, stuff that looks like it got pulled from a lair. Like a crow's skeleton on a staff or something. Or like a witch's cloak or something that.
You didn't see his full intro. You saw him, he appeared in the ring.
Yeah,
but he comes out in a rock, they set up a rocking chair in a spotlight. Yeah. And he has a lantern.
Oh, great, that's great.
And he comes out and it's a smoking lantern.
Oh, that's great.
And everybody puts their phones up.
Okay, yeah.
And they call him, he calls it his fireflies, like everybody's phone. He's like, that's my fireflies.
Love
so
that.
So actually, he's very theatrical. I think there's more of that you would appreciate.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Normally. And he's just amazing, and they just bury him.
I thought he was the most compelling person the whole evening.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm glad to hear you say that. And then the Dudley Boys came out.
The Dudley Boys were hilarious.
Yeah, they're...
They seem kind of vague to me. Like, I don't quite get their thing.
They're older. They just came back too. And actually, that whole team is from like the Attitude Era, which is like 98 around then.
Yeah.
They're, you know, like They're older. They came back like because the
roster. What's
their deal?
They're just like bros or something like that. They're just like real bro about it.
Their whole thing is actually they're like really extreme. They like put three people through tables. Okay. That's Team Extreme. They're all from ECW, okay. Which was like underground Philly
so
wrestling.
Extreme.
All
right.
Yeah, they're hard. They're kind of like, you know, they're just.
I get it.
Time.
I get it.
None of them will get big pushes. They're there now because the roster is a little thin. A lot okay. of guys are like hurt and there's nothing to. Yeah.
Then the fourth group was a real mishmash. It was
the Usos, Roman Reigns,
and then Dean Ambrose. That seemed like a real mishmash.
So Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns were in a faction together.
Okay.
So they're like call themselves brothers, and then the Usos are a tag team that are actually related to Reigns. They're definitely like trying to fill slots to make it like
yeah
to make this four.
It's like
team
in the Avengers where they just be like, well, now this person's on the Avengers.
Yeah. Nothing really to say about it, but you really saw all of them. It's amazing. I was gonna ask you who your favorite is, but you already answered. How do you feel about Roman Reigns? As an outside perspective, how do you feel about Roman
Reigns? Well, I definitely see why he is a hero. He looks like kind of a noble, sort of quiet, long-suffering dude.
Yeah.
And he looks great.
What an amazing way to describe him. Imagine having him trying to describe himself like that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But I thought he was a little boring compared to... He was like... I get that he's kind of quiet and sort of noble, but that's kind of boring on the mic. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I think if that's going to be his jam, he should be like more earnest or something. I was a little bored by him.
So, he's bored.
Yeah.
He sucks. And that's
yeah.
the whole thing with Roman Reigns, is that WWE is jamming him down everybody's throat, like, down.
Yeah.
And people don't like him because... But he... So, I mean, so much happened with him. He won Royal Rumble last year, and the audience they were in Philly, they booed so hard. Now, that's known as a heel town.
I mean, Philly, that's so funny.
Yeah, they're like a heel town. And they're like kind of a parody of themselves at this point, where they're
so
like,
cringe.
Oh shit, we have to out, like, you know. Like, so when you go to Philly, you know
has
it's going to
be
nuts.
Has there ever been like a, you call it a face? That's the good guys?
Yeah, like baby face. Or you could say face.
Okay, so has there ever been like a good guy or face or whatever who's like a man of few words? Because I feel like in action movies, that is a thing. Like, tough guys who aren't good at talking, but they're good at getting it done is like such a primal
yes.
thing.
There
like
are.
Hogan's a chatterbox.
Roman Reigns was that.
Okay.
He was that, and he was very over. Over meaning like with the crowd.
Going
as
over
you
well.
Yeah, you're saying over. Like, this guy's over.
In
like,
a good way. I've never
yeah.
heard that used to be
so,
good.
Yeah,
before.
So let's say somebody, yeah, it's a good, it's like when somebody enters and the crowd goes nuts, it's like, wow, he is over.
They got to find a way to
and they try to sometimes they try to put
mic
people
skills.
Over.
I think he should like not want to talk. After.
Yes,
he should be a guy
so,
who doesn't want to talk to the press or something like that.
So he was very over. He was in that faction with Dean Ambrose and this other guy who was
okay.
the champion who got hurt, and he was the kind of just like the silent muscle.
Yeah,
and people loved him.
Yeah,
they loved him. He was
I can see that.
He would stand in the back wearing what he wears now, which now he wears that for no reason. He was in a group that all wore that.
Yeah.
Did you wonder why he was in like arm
no, dude,
SWAT gear?
There's so many. There's a lot of dudes wearing kind of military sort of camo stuff, so that didn't stand out.
Okay, cool. I was interested in that.
Like, the Dudley Boys had on, like, camo pants
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah.
so it's like, I guess this is just, like, in fashion amongst these dudes.
Right. Well, Roman Reigns, so they tried to push him as, like, a solo artist,
yeah.
if you will, and
yeah.
then he started speaking, and he's horrible.
Yeah.
He is truly terrible on the mic. He's boring. He tries to be funny. He does not play that silent card that you think, where he just goes, like, where he just is like, I you know, just being like, hey, I don't have anything to say. Like, let's just do
there's,
it.
There's got to be a way to make that work for you. Because, like, the strong silent type, you love that person.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I would do is if I was in charge of his story, I would have him be like, I think he's a good, like, little brother energy. Like, if he's standing up for his mentor.
Yeah.
Like, if his mentor got taken out or, like, his, like, partner got unfairly, like, hurt or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he'd have, like, a good look of vengeance in his eyes.
Yeah.
I think he should have a media blackout.
But what you're saying,
where he's refusing to talk to the commentators, but he doesn't totally really refuse to. He has to like stand there and like fold his arms and say something, and like there's a little game to try to get him to say anything. And every time he'll break when they push his buttons enough or something like that.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just here to win.
Yeah. Who's like an like?
There's athletes like that. There's a
just
lot.
Like,
of
they can't
like that.
Talk, so they won't do it. But
yeah,
like Ewing, like Patrick Ewing was like that to the Knicks. Like he was
yeah.
so like uncomfortable talking. But he would just throw down on the court.
Yeah, like Brock Lesnar's a little bit like that when he was like UFC fighting and stuff. But Yeah, I agree. It's just that
you got people like Charles Barkley who are awesome, so like, funny, post-game, and then people who are like they're bad at it, but sometimes they make that work for themselves.
So right now in wrestling, it's weird. Like Seth Rollins was the champion; he's gone. Randy Orton is a guy you didn't see; he's hurt, and John Cena is just taking a break right now.
Who I didn't even know what that dude looked like until I saw the movie Trainwreck.
Yeah, but even from Trainwreck, you could see that he's got charisma.
Oh yeah,
John Cena is a mega star. Yeah. He's their biggest star they have. He's out. Daniel Bryan's another guy you don't know. He's out, he's the most interesting wrestler in the past, 5 years.
Yeah.
Since, Punk or whatever. But he's a guy who, the brass at WWE, they don't want to put, the top brass, they don't want to push him because he's, little.
Uh-huh.
But they want someone like Roman Reigns to be a champion. But the crowd is just like, boo, we don't like him.
Roman Reigns looks like he could be. He does good look.
But that's the thing is, some of the people at the top, they go for just look.
I guess they're trying to merchandise. It works with kids. It's all merchandise.
Yes, it's all merchandise. It's all for kids.
I don't think he was so bad. I feel like he's workable. I can see where he's not going to be one of the immortals, but I feel like he could be a tough guy for a while.
Yeah.
I've seen one Raw.
So I'm just interested in what he said. But I guess what I'm saying is that right now, Sheamus and Roman Reigns are the top guys in wrestling.
Those are pretty boring guys at the top.
It's kind of crazy that you would come into that. I would never think that would headline.
Yeah.
A pay-per-view.
Maybe that's why they threw so many dudes in that first fight. It's they just need more people to give them charisma.
They let them close out Raw, but
if I had to pick a fight that I'd want to see, I'd want to see Dolph Ziggler versus that Wyatt guy.
Right, and that will that's
and Dolph would be
four
like
of the
this,
top belt. You're saying those are your top guys.
I guess so. I want to see Dolph in his sort of playing by the rules, noble, trying to win it the right way, and this dude using weird swamp magic on him, you know?
Well, he does,
just try to spook him, you know?
Yeah, he does spook him. Sometimes he has he's had kids come out in masks. He does a lot of crazy shit. He's had those guys always appear. They're you saw that graphic comes up and goes, and then he did the other, he's got four disciples who always are jump
does
up.
Does anybody ever use props in the ring or anything like that?
Yeah, you do. You can get disqualified for them. It depends on what kind of matches. You got to make sure the ref's not looking.
Could he put a weird spooky totem in his corner just as a good luck charm and have that spook the other guy?
Yeah, it's a little, he did have that because he had he would call his rocking chair was Sister Abigail's rocking chair and he leaves it at the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
You know, so he has stuff like that, but some of that stuff with totems and voodoo and stuff veers into old school wrestling, and now it's guys go by their regular names and stuff.
Yeah.
So it starts, you toe a line of corniness sometimes where I think that they're
it's so weird to know what's corny and what's not because the whole thing is corny.
Well, it's hard to know, and that's the thing about wrestling. It's very alive.
Yeah.
It's one guy's going to come in, do it different, it's really going to work, and then everyone's going to try to copy that for a while.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where CM Punk came in, and he was kind of the starter of what we're in now. And that's why wrestling starts getting labeled as eras. Which is the reality era, which is kind of what they call what we're in now.
Right.
Where it's
Kevin Owens kind of guys.
Yes. Yeah. And because of dirt sheets, stuff going on the internet, you kind of know what's going on and they incorporate that into the storyline. Yeah. Even though Sheamus tried to tell us that we're in the international era.
Love it.
He said we're in the international, and
they really forced him that stuff.
He said we're now in the international era. And I was boo. And then he said, what did he say? He said, 2015, Americans don't cut it anymore. We tried to have an American in our group, but no one was
good
enough to lace our boots.
So funny. I love it.
Yeah. That was
I think
great.
That's hilarious.
So we saw Owen Ziggler match. How do you feel about some of the... We were talking a little bit about the camera work where it was going through the ladders.
Hilarious. They're pushing that ladder match so much.
Every time
they cut over the ladder, it made me laugh.
They're doing artistic shots from a distance.
Yeah.
Where it's you can see the guys in the rings are out of focus, but you see the ladder.
Somebody was really getting cinematic with their moves. Yeah.
I definitely dug that. So let's see. What else is worth talking about?
Just how many kind of matches are there? So they got a ladders, tables, and chairs match.
Yeah, they'll
that sounds crazy.
Sometimes they'll be separate. They're this is just a tables match.
What else do they have that's physical obstacles? They have
they have cage matches.
Okay, where you're caged in. How about anything with the floor, a sand match where it's the is that funny? Is that weirder than a bunch of ropes?
I guess it's not.
Where it's hard to get footing because of the sand? don't know. I'm just trying. Underwater
it's
mattress?
It's not unheard of. They do have like...
How about in water? Like up to your neck in water.
It's not crazy. It's like...
Water match this Sunday. We're going to be up to our necks in water.
I think people... See, I think when you're watching, like, you're like, oh, you're seeing the appeal of... This is interesting. You're seeing the appeal of the... of the story aspects of it, right? Yeah. Like the theater aspects of it.
Yeah.
People do really love the art, the dance of professional wrestling. And I do. When it's done well, it's amazing. We didn't see really any matches tonight that would sell you on like the excitement of it.
Yeah.
Those are mainly, and most of those mainly happen in pay-per-views. Like these guys kind of like save their bodies for the, when they're, you know, for the big dance.
I just don't think it could ever look good. I can't wrap my head around how fake it looks.
No, it always is going to look fake, but you're going to be like, that's an impressive move. You'll see things, them do things from the top rope that's like amazing. You didn't see Neville tonight. We didn't see any Neville. He does this amazing...
I mean, those luchadors came in and hit the trampoline and then like landed on a somersault. That was like, you know, for real.
Yeah, and there's stuff like that where guys flip and land on another guy and you're like, Jesus. And they'll like seamlessly do that into another move. But you didn't see that much of that tonight. And Raw is not really... I mean, Raw is about that, but this wasn't really. This wasn't that. And also, Sheamus and Reigns are not like known as great wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think we covered really mainly everything.
Yeah. I feel like I have a...
Did you like the New Day?
I did like the New Day.
Yeah.
I thought those dudes were pretty great.
Yeah, they're really funny.
They're hilarious. They have good style. They got great mic skills. Like, they have that good patter or whatever.
Yeah.
They look insane. Yeah, they look completely insane in a fun way.
They also, like, work... They clearly, like, work on what they're going to say, their promos. They clearly, like, think of...
They had a lot of layers going on. Yeah. I almost felt like it was too complicated. I couldn't quite follow all the twists and turns they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But I liked them.
All right, so... Good, so...
And the New Day is a great name.
Yeah. Well, they came out as... They were, like, not working at all. They came out as, like, supposed to be good guys who just, like, were, like, a little bit... Like, they had a video package of them, like, with, like, a choir and just clapping, and they're, like, three black guys, and you're, like, a little bit, like, oh, what do we do with these three black guys? I guess we'll just, like, make them...
Kind of gospel-y.
Like, gospel.
Yeah.
And they, like, but they didn't dress gospel, so you're, like, wait, what is this? And then they just eventually became bad guys, and then they just started being funny.
Yeah.
Like, they just started, like, letting loose, figuring out what their thing is, and they're, like, really working now. They're very over with the crowd, even though they're bad guys. And they started calling things booty. Like, that's booty. And then he does, like, a little dick shake. It's very funny. So,
very funny, yeah.
All right. So, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Will.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. Thank you for watching Raw and then doing the podcast.
No, I love that you... I like understanding things. And I... Even though I make fun of it and will continue to, I was truly baffled in a way that... Didn't mean that I was dismissing it. Like, I wanted to understand it. Like, what is the deal? Same thing with Dungeons & Dragons. Like, I didn't understand Dungeons & Dragons for a long time.
Did you play it?
I've played it, and I get Dungeons & Dragons. Same thing. Dungeons & Dragons is the story and the character.
Yeah.
You have to make up a good... You're all working together to make the story good.
I played Dungeons & Dragons with a group of people for the same reason. Like, there's a group that invited me to play, and I was like, yeah, I've always been interested in it my whole life.
Yeah.
I still, like, it's like almost with you watching wrestling, where I'm like, I'm still like, this will never be my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not like, but I enjoy doing it. I really look forward to doing it.
I liked getting it.
Yeah.
Like, getting why it works. And if everybody is good, and they're working together, and they're telling a good story together, everyone's playing their part well. You know what it's really about? It's like when you're a kid and you play, like, army or something. Like, if you're good at it, you have to sometimes fall. You have to be shot sometimes.
Right.
And if you're playing right... Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
And I feel like wrestling must be the same way. Like, there's winners, you're winning and losing, and it just has to happen for the right reasons.
And also, it's like timing. It's like, there's certain wins that are really important. And certain, like, it's actually less about winning and losing. Actually, like, Mick Foley's a wrestler who lost most of the time, but won the crowd and won his, like, legend status.
Yeah.
Just from things he did.
Yeah.
Where you're like...
I met that dude.
Yeah. He was at UCB a couple times.
UCB a lot, yeah.
And he's an example. So I think there's a thing about wrestling where it's like, it's more about becoming like a legend of the game more than just like winning each match. And that I like, which kind of probably maps to like comedy or something.
Yeah, just like how good is your bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how, and like, when you have big moments, do you step up to the plate?
Yeah.
You, like, sometimes, like, you get a big moment and, like, do you nail it or do you not nail it? Or do you captivate a crowd? A cool thing, you talk about wrestling where you're like, oh, they decide who wins. For me, I don't think it's like they just decide who wins. I think, like, they gauge how everything's going.
Yes,
see, like, are you ready? Like, should we give you that push?
Will the crowd?
Should we let you win?
Will this work? Yeah.
Should we, like, Kevin Owens, they're like, this guy's got something. Let's let him beat John Cena in his first match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
So, here's my question to you.
Okay.
Do you want to see, based on what we watched, are you engaged to be like, I want to see what happens when Sheamus and Roman Reigns fight on Sunday in a TLC match, in a ladder match?
Yeah.
Are you like, oh, I'm curious to know who wins that?
No.
No. Why?
Those two are too boring. I am curious with some of the other people.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens to the Wyatt.
Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I'm more curious about that. I want to see what happens with Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
Why?
They're more interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
I like the broken home kid. I relate to that dude. I think he's kind of interesting.
Because he piqued your interest more.
Yeah.
Than just like the generic promo.
I think he should come out eating like slices of individually wrapped cheese. Like, I think that would fit his kind of like trashy style.
Do you have more respect for wrestling than you did before you showed up to my house?
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
If I ever invited you over to watch, would you consider it?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Just out of friendship to me or out of interest in what's going to happen?
It'd be a mixture. It'd be a mixture. But it wouldn't, right today it was 100% just because we're friends. It was 0% because of the wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'd say in the future it'd be more like 60-40 friendship wrestling.
So here's what I want to say.
Okay.
Great. So
maybe 70-30.
What I want to ask for is one, money in the bank. I want to get one. I have a cash in where I'm allowed to tell you, you have to come watch wrestling.
Okay, yeah. I'll give
whether
it to
you
it.
Want to or
I'll
not.
I'll give that to you. Here. Yeah, I'll write it down.
I'll write it down on a piece of paper.
Piece of paper, I have to come watch
I'm handing you, right now, I'm putting you in a briefcase.
Okay.
Well, I guess I would have the briefcase, right?
I'm going to give you a briefcase
yeah.
with the money in the bank order for me to watch another wrestling
session.
Well,
I'm like, tonight, whatever your plans are,
you have to cancel.
You have to cancel your
plans. All right.
And I'm going to text you. I'm going to say, I'm cashing in.
Yeah.
And you have to come. And what I'm going to cash in for is on something that I think is truly exciting.
Yeah, you're not going to throw it away.
You should see.
Okay.
I don't know. That might happen a year from now. Might happen 2 years from now.
Might happen tomorrow.
Yeah. We're gonna have it tomorrow. I don't think it's happening tomorrow because I don't think there's wrestling tomorrow.
Right.
Great. So, Will, thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
As you hear, Will, what this is a fair summary is to say that now Will came in here not as a wrestling fan and is walking out 100% a wrestling fan. You heard it here first. All right. Do you want to plug anything?
Go to my Twitter, Will Hines, WYLLHINES. Thank you, bye.
Yeah, and hit me up on my Twitters, at The Black Attack. Tell me if you like the show. Tell me if you hate the show. Tell me anything. I don't care. Tell your friends about this who like wrestling. This is the Comedians of Wrestling. We'll be back next week. Bye. Kisses.